Beautiful war heroes prove in liberating strife, who more than self their country love, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine blessed. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Maybe we should sing another one, give Dave a little more time. I don't know what happened to him, but... He's ready? Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Appreciate again, Brother Dave Johnson, a school teacher, teaches history. Hallelujah. And I thought it'd be good. We're coming on our 30th year of anniversary. Dave and Chris are founding members of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Dave Johnson, Jeannie Johnson, were founding members of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I could probably list all of them here, but I didn't bring a list, so... Linda was a founding member of a Good Samaritan Baptist Church. So we appreciate, again, the Cramners, and just been faithful for all these years. So today's his birthday. We should sing happy birthday in here someplace, but he wants to go ahead and do a 4th of July appreciation for Independence Day, and I'm looking forward to that if we could find Dave Johnson someplace. Or Dave Cramner, Dave Cramner. All right, praise the Lord. Brother Dave, it's all yours.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Pastor.
Lord bless you, my brother.
All right. We're going back to 1776, and I just rode my horse for two long days because, actually, a lot of people don't know this, but today is July 4th. And the reason I bring that up is because, I've been riding my horse for two long days. And 2 days ago, 56 members at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, voted unanimously to pass the Declaration of Independence. Right. And today, as far as I know, hold on a second. Yep, it's been approved. So... just a couple hours ago, it was approved by unanimous vote, and so they told all of us in each church to read it. So I am going to read the Declaration of Independence in its entirety.
Amen.
And I think everybody should do this once a year.
Amen.
In Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, no longer to be known as colonies. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Oh, by the way, George Washington would actually read this to his troops before they went to war. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I want to read this again because in future times we're going to get this mixed up. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history, talking about King George III, is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation, till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them, and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their office and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us, in many cases, of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries, so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures, and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection a waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is, at this time, transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them, from time to time, of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations. Which would invariably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice. We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation, and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. There's the Declaration of Independence. Now, I have a little message. I just read the Bible. Now, a lot of people don't know this, and I try teaching to my 7th graders. The Declaration of Independence has three parts. You have basic rights of all mankind. You have what the British did wrong. I'll talk a little bit about that, and the fact that we are now going to be an independent nation. Once the Declaration of Independence was signed, we were not going to go back. We've tried that before. We wrote the Olive Branch Petition. That was the last ditch effort to King George III. Having him take back not only his taxes, but his soldiers and everything else that was tied to Britain. He didn't even read it. He threw the note in the fire, and that was the last straw. So then we came back to Independence Hall in Philadelphia and decided that was it. Some representatives still wanted another letter sent out, but it was overwhelmingly decided that, no, it's too late. And so then George Washington wasn't even at the meeting. He had already gone, got troops together, and he was, I think, going to New York City. I think that's where he was going. But, anyways, I digress. So that was the reading of Declaration of Independence. And now, I get my message. All right. I'm just going to flip it. Good. That's so much for flipping. All right, learning from the past. I thought this was kind of like when it was coming up. I was looking at this the last week of school. And the question, how did America get to the America of 2021? I'm not just talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about just the weirdness of 2021. How did we get there? First off, contrary to the opinion of some, we did not get to 2021 overnight in America. We got to 2021 over a period of time in which we have been taught in baby steps. Number one, America has forgotten its past, both on a secular and spiritual level. America has been taught to believe half-truths for almost 100 years in schools. and I am sad to say in our pulpits, we have left most of the past behind and are focused on what a few want us to focus on. Number two, many men behind the pulpits in America have neglected to teach biblical principles from our own nation's history. So even Christians in America do not know the real history of America. But don't just blame education in the pulpits. God gave us as individuals the ability to think and reason, and to study to show ourselves approved, and therefore we as individuals are really the ones to blame as not knowing our past. Winston Churchill said, "When a nation forgets the actual truths of the past, it is doomed to repeat those problems that jeopardize it in the first place. Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it." Patrick Henry said, "I know no way of judging the future but by the past." Daniel Webster, not the one who made the dictionary, but Daniel Webster stated, "History is God's providence in human affairs." Woodrow Wilson, the president during World War I, stated, "A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do. We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about." Many Americans today are either uninformed or misinformed about the true heritage of America. Many revivals in the Bible have to do with looking back at the history of God's people. Let's turn to 2 Kings 22. And verse 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adai of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Go to verse 9 through 13. And Shaphan, the scribe, came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work. They have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah, the priest, have delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Akbar, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go, ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us." So we see here that even in the old 2 Kings, we see that they learned from the past. Go to 6. I don't have a mark, but this is the one about Mordecai who learns from the history. So sorry that I had you turn there, but I don't have the spot. Job 8:8 says, "For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers." God was removed slowly out of our history, and that was how America got to 2021. God was removed, and economics took his place. So what is the history of America, and what should we learn from? The 4th of July. Why do we in America celebrate the 4th of July? That was the day that we separated from Great Britain. Well, to be honest, that was when the writers of the Declaration made it official, sort of. On July 2, 1776, independence was formally declared, but it wasn't until July 4th that Congress approved the final text. But it wasn't read until August 2, 1776. Why did we break from Great Britain? Well, if I ask you guys, why did we break from Great Britain? Everybody knows that answer. Can you press this? But if you ask most people, they say three words, and I have them do it in seventh grade. Taxation without representation. Wrong. Okay? Now, but here's the thing. Remember what I told you. God was removed and economics took his place. In America, we went from having God involved in our history to a secular view of history that started in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. Now, nothing that is taught in schools has meaning. It's just a series of dates. You can just Google the answers. So the reason I bring that up is because I was in a social studies conference, and we were talking, and we were looking at important documents, and the Declaration of Independence was not there. I mean, like, all these important documents, and this was like, I want to say 10 years ago. And I raised my hand, and there was probably 50 social studies teachers, and I raised my hand, and I said, wait a minute, the Declaration of Independence isn't in there. And she, the instructor, said, you can just Google that. And I'm like, you can't Google the Declaration of Independence. Now, you can Google the date, that's great, but you can't Google why it's important. You still need to teach that. But it's being lost. All right, now, many Americans today are either uninformed or misinformed about the true heritage of America. We in America, since the 1930s, have been taught a rendition of American history, but one that is not looking at the history with the right lenses on. Since the 1930s, what has pushed our education in America is not the whole truth, but the truth that has been pushed by money, plain and simple. Writers of our textbooks began to push the economic view of America, hence that is why we know of taxation without representation. The average American thinks of government. Two roles of government. Number one, jobs, and outsourcing of jobs. But this country was created on a laissez-faire principle, and that means government just keeps their hands off. If you do well, you're going to make money. If you don't, you're not. So this government, our country was founded on that. In other words, if, like I said, there's not a lot, when you look at the founding fathers in the documents, there's not a lot where it says the government's going to be in charge of businesses and everything else like that. It's contrary. They just say, hey, listen, go ahead, do what you got to do as long as you're not breaking the laws. Capitalism, supply and demand. All right, if you, for instance, you want to go out and you want to paint rocks and call them a pet rock and make millions of dollars, you go right ahead. And it actually worked. Now, 45% of evangelicals that voted in the recent election said that economics were more important than morals. Dow Jones quote, national leaders are judged not by character or leadership, but by the success of the economy. We as Christians can clearly see that where our nation is heading, and it's not a good place. But the question is, that many questions would ask, should we as Christians use the civil arena to voice our displeasure with the things that's going on in America? The argument for is found in Matthew 5, verse 16, and the answer is, yeah, we should. We should be as loud and as boisterous as anybody else. Now, number two, God was removed, and the government and the media took his place. Our moral fiber today in America was the eroding away of many Christian values with things like BLM, and I won't get all these initials right, but I'm going to try LGBTQRST and all the rest. And we can point to our leaders and say it is their fault. But the eroding away of our core Christian values is nothing new. In the late 1800s, people like Robert Ingersoll advocated that American government was born out of secularism. American Liberal Union, their platform was to remove God from textbooks in America. That was in the late 1800s. Many believe that since our founding fathers were not really men of God, it stands to reason that the Declaration was a secular document. But if you read the Declaration, you can see it acknowledges God four times. It also talks about the abuses of government power. 11 of the 27 problems with England deal with government abuse of powers. As a matter of fact, if you look at the abuse of the powers out of 27, taxation without representation wasn't listed until number 17. 11, let me say it again, 11 out of the 27 problems with England dealt with governmental abuse of power. We the people, and this is the Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The preamble of the United States Constitution, the document's most famous in the first 52 words, introduces everything that is followed in the Constitution's 7 articles and 27 amendments. It proclaims who is adopting the Constitution. We the people of the United States. Number 3, Americans have been taught to hate America. In a Gallup poll in June of 2020, only 63% of U.S. adults say they are either extremely proud or very proud to be an American, the lowest level of patriotism ever recorded since Gallup first asked the question in 2001. So for 19 years, it's gone down. Among members of my generation, the youngest surveyed, patriots are the minority. Only 4 out of 10 respondents aged 13 to 54 claim to be extremely or very proud of being American. Unfortunately, many people my age do not believe that America is worth loving. This position is certainly understandable. Recent riots, violence, and corruption remind us that America is far from perfect. No kidding. Patriotism, however, does not claim a country is without flaws. In fact, many people who identify as patriotic do not always feel proud of their government, their fellow citizens, or even themselves. Just like we're not perfect, right? Thank God that he saved us anyways. As English author G.K. Chesterton explained, patriotism treats one's country like a family member. You love it simply because it is yours, and that love motivates you to mend any imperfections. Today, that motivation force is rapidly receding. But there's nothing new here. The medieval philosopher St. Thomas Aquinas once observed, love follows knowledge. Love of country is no different. I believe our lack of patriotism stems from a lack of knowledge. A 2016 report from the American Council of Trustees and Alumni found that more than two-thirds of top U.S. colleges do not require history majors to take a single course in United States history. So to be a history major, you don't need to take a course in history. Instead, several colleges require history majors to complete coursework on areas outside the United States. Promoters of these curricula may argue that we need to understand the flaws in American history and its leading figures. This is true, but the American story and its flaws, like any individual person's, should be presented in light of its inherent goodness. The United States is imperfect, but its imperfections are only a small part of an overall narrative that has championed individual freedom and increased prosperity for all citizens. Now, the fourth part, who's to blame? Don't worry, nobody here. I blame, it could be, the baby boomers and the media. Okay, so if you're a baby boomer and the media. Since the 1960s, so the baby boomer, if you don't know, that was anybody born right after World War II. Sorry, Pastor. Since the 1960s, but it stops at 1967. Well, wait a minute, it stops in 1966, okay, so that's no longer a baby boomer. Good to go, Chris. Now, since the 1960s, America has been lied to a little at a time. In the 1950s, a new invention came out that took the place of thinking in America. It was called the TV. It was sold as the greatest invention ever. For the first time in our history, we did not have to think for ourselves. We allowed others to do the thinking for us. Before the TV, Americans read the Bible and other books, and we were informed, but once the television was put into our homes, we gave up control of our thinking and allowed others to form our opinions, and others have been forming our opinions ever since. You see, in the 1950s, when the television was put into our homes on a wide-scale effort, we have allowed others to form our opinions for us. For instance, TV shows where TV children could talk back to their parents and was laughed at. Walter Cronkite reported on news and being called the most trusted man in America. He did not believe in the Vietnam War, and so his nightly reports were biased when presented to the American people, and most Americans did not want us in the war anyways. The generation that listened to Walter started hating America, and guess where the generations ended up? Yep, teaching the people today in universities and teaching their children to hate America. 2 Kings 20. Turn to 2 Kings 20. Good old Hezekiah. Verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. It came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out in the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days, how many years? 15, because that's kind of important here. And I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Remember that number 15. Alrighty. Now, America was given a Hezekiah-like revival. 9/11 happened when? 2001. You add 15 years to that, and we get 2016, Donald Trump. And what did we do with it? Absolutely nothing. And so we had a chance in America, but I think we blew it. Does that mean it's the last chance? I don't think so. But I think we're eroding, and there's going to be a part, and we all know about eroding, there's going to be a part where we've eroded and we can't build it back. So a little at a time, and now you see what's happening in 2021. All right, Pastor Mike, come up, and that's all I got.
Amen. Lord, you appreciate that. Appreciate the depth of that thoughtfulness. And it is distressing that we have gone down the road this far. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the revelation of Jesus Christ. What we talked here about, Brother Dave, was a examination of what happened in Philadelphia. And I appreciate that Dave came all the way up from Philadelphia to be here today. Figuratively, I guess. Virtually, maybe. Just appreciate, again, looking at those things. If you've not read the Declaration of Independence, I encourage you to do that again. Understand, again, some of the things that are found there are not normally reviewed. We don't look at the things that was wrong. Again, the fact that you brought out all of those, again, in the reading of the Declaration of Independence is tremendous. Appreciated here for the 4th of July celebration. In Revelation chapter 3, we see a message to the church, the message from the Lord Jesus Christ to the church of Philadelphia. And if you look over here in chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." We find again in this description, and the name Philadelphia is no coincidence, that a door is open. That door was opened even from that very declaration that Dave just read. And again, the opportunity to have a freedom. There's another whole course of history I wish we could take this morning about the First Amendment that was made and the involvement of Baptist preachers in jail that contributed to that. Maybe the founding members were not all independent, fundamental, KJV, thumping Bible Christians, but again, understand that they did respond with the First Amendment to Baptist preachers who were put in jail for preaching the gospel. And so again, as we see our history again, I want to go ahead and look at the closing message of our Lord Jesus Christ to the church of Philadelphia. The next church coming up is found down there in verse 14. The angel of the church of Laodicea, and we end up with a Laodicean church age where the Lord Jesus Christ is outside the doors of the church knocking to get in that portrayal. And so again, if you're going to be a Bible-believing church, you're going to stand here in the Church of Philadelphia, look at his closing comments, and again, let me say that I appreciate Good Samaritan Baptist Church. It is a pillar and ground of truth that has been for the 30 years of its history, taking a stand for truth here in Yates County. And notice what it says. Chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly." Behold, I come quickly. Again, in 1 Corinthians, it tells how quickly. Chapter 15. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it says, we're going to be changed. Behold, I come quickly. Then it says this, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And so we're in a stage right now, I believe, in America, where Christianity, Bible believers are holding fast that which we have and expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to return at any moment. It almost makes me want to get out the songbook and sing, "We're on the winning side again." Praise the Lord that we again are on His side. And again, I look down the road and I'm probably more pessimistic than a lot of people. I see again that we could very well be trudging down a path that there's no turning back from as far as what happened in January, the graft and deceit and of our voting system that had been compromised. I don't know if you'd heard, but this past week, the governor of Pennsylvania, Wolf, vetoed the law that would fix Pennsylvania's voting laws and get that corrected. And that was one of the major things that threw the election, was the graft and deceit going on in the election process, even in Pennsylvania, our neighbor. And again, the Democratic governor vetoed the result, or the laws changed that was want to be put in by the Republicans. And so we're in a course in America that's dangerous. And I would say scary, unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ, understand that He has all things in His hand. Well, I greatly appreciate that. And let's just go ahead and dismiss now. Appreciate again that we could worship here on Independence Day, and appreciate the reading of the Declaration, and again, Dave's contribution for our examining where we're at again on this dangerous precipice. Let's stand and let's just dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, thank you and praise you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you again for what we've seen and heard here today. Thank you again, Father, that you've given us great promise, even in trial, even in tribulation, even in end times. And we know again, Father, that there is coming a battle of Armageddon where every nation's going to shake their fist at you in rebellion. Father, it distresses us here today on Independence Day to see our own nation shaking their fist at you and exalting the creature above the Creator. And Father, falling into the reprobate mind that's described in your holy word. But Father, we're looking to you, and we'd ask that you'd smile on lives and hearts, that we could be encouraged, that we could be strengthened. Father, that we could be your witnesses, that's what you've asked to do, that we could preach righteousness even as Noah did. And Father, that we could again, in the face of judgment, have our faith and trust in you. Your word says, "Blessed is he that trusts in the Lord." Thank you that we could be that and look for your blessing on our lives this week. Thank you for the celebrations going on. Pray that you touch each one here today and enable us to put in a good word for our Creator and the founder of our nation, even to cause again that we could be in a nation that lifts up God. Thank you for Israel, a nation that you chose out. But thank you for the United States, for a nation that chose you as their God. And Father, I pray now again that you'd be with our celebration, be with our week, be with again our testimony, our walk with you. Touch each one, cause again that we could hear from heaven. We love you. Thank you for this day of independence. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you for serving today. Let's dismiss with a chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Lord, bless you for being here today. Oh, yeah, let's sing happy birthday to our preacher today. And get your hat on. We're going to sing happy Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord.